Dr. Sinead Young is our next presenter, and she did our postdoc in Emory University, the same university where we had our past presenters, and she's an assistant professor at the Morehouse College. So she will be presenting on, she will be presenting on emotional victimization and sexual risk-taking behaviors among adolescent African-American women. Dr. Young.
Good evening, everyone. I am at Morehouse College, so I'm teaching the Anthonys that Dr. Wingood spoke about earlier. Thank you all for staying for my presentation. I'm very well aware that I stand between you and dinner, so I will try to be succinct. In public health, we're extremely interested in the relationship between violence and STI risk. It's a relationship that has been established, but as we well know, that violence takes different forms. And so what I decided to do was look at the different forms and how that influences STI and HIV risk behaviors. So the violence that I'm specifically focusing on is that which targets women and girls, known as gender-based violence. And as we see, gender-based violence is not limited to physical, sexual, and psychological, used interchangeably with emotional violence. But we also know that it is very difficult to get the exact prevalence and incidence rates of violence. It often goes underreported. Previous research has shown us that GBV that takes place during vulnerable periods of childhood and adolescence can have pronounced and enduring effects. The research that has been done shows that at least 1 in 5 adolescent girls has reported experiencing some form of gender-based violence throughout some point in their lifetime. And this gender-based violence may result in a higher susceptibility to negative and long-term physical and mental health consequences. A history of GBV is also associated with higher rates of sexual risk-taking behaviors among adolescents. Again, women and adolescents with a history of any form of gender-based violence are more likely to use substances and be diagnosed with a sexually transmitted infection. And I think I was fortunate enough to do my postdoc at Emory, and that was after reading the paper on the theory of gender and power. So it shows us the relationship between violence and sexual risk behaviors, which I'll talk a little bit more about. Previous research has also demonstrated that up to 41% of persons living with HIV have reported a history of childhood sexual abuse. So to date, there are no published studies that have examined the relationship between the different forms of gender-based violence and sexual risk-taking behaviors among adolescent African-American women. If you know otherwise, I'm happy for you to tell me at the end of this. So the purpose of this particular study was to compare the different forms of gender-based violence on sexual risk-taking behaviors of adolescent African-American women by splitting them up into 3 groups, looking at those who report no history of victimization, those who report only emotional victimization, and those who report physical and or sexual victimization, with the understanding that victimization often occurs concurrently or can precede one another. But I just wanted to take one snapshot of those who have reported these different forms. So based on the work of Fallingstad, 1990, he found that people who report a history of emotional victimization actually had worse health outcomes psychologically than those who reported a history of physical victimization. So to me, it was very important to try to tease out these relationships. So I hypothesized that the sexual risk behaviors of adolescent women who report a history of emotional victimization would not differ significantly from those who report a history of physical and sexual victimization, knowing that a lot of sexual risk behaviors are driven by psychological processes. This data comes from the Horizons data set, which Colleen spoke about earlier. So it's a sample of adolescent African-American women. This was baseline data that was collected prior to them being randomized into their control and experiment groups. Those who reported those, and I'll talk a little bit more about this, but those who reported a history of victimization, or the specific ones that I was looking at, was a subset. So this was only 382 participants. And this, the age of these women, this subsample, was a little bit higher, 18.4. And again, they were recruited from clinics throughout the metropolitan area in Atlanta. Again, this was this particular study is cross-sectional. Structured surveys were administered via ACASI. Eligibility criteria included being African American, aged 15 to 21, sexually active, reporting vaginal intercourse within the previous 60 days. And those who were married or are currently trying to become pregnant, works or in detention centers, were excluded from this particular study. And of course, we received IRB approval. The variables of interest for my analyses were gender-based violence. And gender-based violence was assessed by simply asking three questions, which were dichotomous, yes, no. Have you been emotionally abused by your boyfriend? Have you ever been punched? And actually, there should be a correction. It's have you ever been emotionally abused, and it's not by your boyfriend. Have you ever been punched, hit, or had something thrown at you? And has anyone ever forced you to have vaginal sex when you did not want to? We did not ask the person to identify who the perpetrator was. In addition, demographic information was collected, bless you, and outcome variables such as in the interpersonal domain, partner communication, social support, looking at the psychological domain of depressive symptomatology, sexual behaviors, age of sexual debut, condom use, and multiple partners. Descriptive and inferential analyses were conducted, chi-squares and ANCOVAs. Also, I did run correlations on the continuous variables. The only variable that was significantly related to my other variables was age, and that is what I controlled for. There's a lot going on in this slide, but basically 42% of the participants reported receiving one or more forms of victimization, with emotional victimization being the most reported form, followed by only 6% of the participants who reported sexual victimization only, and another 8% who reported physical victimization only. And then we had those who reported a physical and sexual victimization without emotional victimization. And then 57% of the participants reported no form of victimization at all. Again, I wanted to tease out these groups. Knowing that victimization often co-occurs, I wanted those who only had emotional. But because the numbers of those who had experienced sexual or physical victimization were so low, I collapsed these two groups together. So I call them the physical and or sexual victimization group. So I had three groups in total. And what we found was that the impact of emotional victimization was not significantly different than physical victimization on some indices and precursors of sexual risk-taking behaviors. So again, it supports our hypothesis that even though someone has been emotionally victimized, they look a lot like those people who have had a history of physical victimization. This is busy, but what I want to point out to you, this is a chi-square, and it's we looked at those who had multiple partners. And again, keep in mind that the average age of the participants was about 18 years, and these are more than five partners. And we see that the emotional victimization group and the physical victimization group had significantly more partners than the no victimization group. And again, those in the emotional and the physical group reported more inconsistent condom use in the past 14 days. These other variables that are highlighted are just approaching significance. This is the ANCOFA and on all of the outcome variables that I talked about. And what I want to draw your attention to, what I want to draw your attention to is these groups again, the emotional victimization group and the physical and or sexual victimization group. When you look at condom use in the past 60 days, just like the chi-square showed us, it's these groups who have less consistent condom use. And it's these two groups who look very similar, they share the same subscript, than this group. The other couple of variables that I want to point your attention to is family support. This is questions asking about how supportive is your family to you. And it's the emotional victimization group that reports the least amount of family support, followed by the physical victimization group. And again, these are significant. These means don't look like they're too far off from here, but they are significantly different than here. Although what's interesting is that the physical victimization group and the no victimization group both report more support than the emotional victimization group. And lastly, depressive symptomatology. Again, these two groups look very similar. They report higher levels of depression than the no victimization group. So I talked to you about not only the risky sexual behaviors like not using condoms, but these precursors, these precursors as well, such as depressive symptomatology. Because if we're talking about why these young girls are engaging in risky behaviors, we must look at the reasons behind it. So these findings further highlight the public health importance of delineating the relationship between gender-based victimization typologies. And participants with, in this particular sample, participants with histories of any form of gender-based violence were at increased risk for engaging in some form of risky sexual behaviors. Gender-based violence, or the fear of it, may interfere with the ability or desire to negotiate safer sex. So I may be afraid to negotiate safer sex, or I may have some self-esteem or some depression issues, and I may not want to because that person is making me feel good. This was a cross-sectional study, self-report. We looked at lifetime prevalence of gender-based violence. Again, we did not identify the perpetrator. So it's extremely important to also know that we don't know if it's the family members or if it's the partner who's doing the victimizing. In addition, there are various varying interpretations of what victimization is. What may be emotional victimization to me could look completely different than to someone else. And how I cope with it may be completely different than how someone else copes with it. So the implications are that practitioners and clinicians need to screen for not only one form of victimization, but the various forms. And if we are to develop these comprehensive intervention programs that we talk about, we must take all of these factors into account. And fortunately, this data, although I presented the cross-sectional baseline data, the database, the data set does allow for longitudinal analyses. And maybe that'll be study number two, Ralph. But, you know, I just want to acknowledge everyone who has worked with these data and the principal investigator, Ralph DiClemente, all of the co-authors, and tell you that I have no financial relationships, but I'm always looking for money. So if you know of any grants, but thank you very much.
Once again, a round of applause for our panel, please. That was beautiful. And I feel the need to say that I want to say a special thank you to our panel because we started 5 minutes behind time and they ended up presenting 20 minutes ahead of time. So I think that's amazing how we're able to save almost 10 minutes because of how effective they were. So we really enjoyed the presentation. Before we open it up to questions, which we know a lot of you have questions for them, I just want to announce that the HIV/AIDS section award and social hour is going to take place tomorrow at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We have a lot of food. In fact, the theme this year is California's Dear Dinner. So we got lots of food and we'd love you to stop by. And the venue is in this same convention center in the meeting room 31B, which is next just down the road there. So 8 o'clock tomorrow, please come and get your groove on. We got a lot of food for you. And so with that said, we want to open questions for our panel, please. Yes. Thank you. Questions? Yes, please. And actually, as a follow-up to her question, that was a question similar along that line, because one of the categories you had was people that said they were physically and sexually abused, but not emotionally abused. And I was wondering that, is it possible to actually be physically and sexually abused, but not emotionally abused? Because I would think that you kind of have to kill somebody emotionally before you put your hands on them. But, I mean, this is just me thinking out loud.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Same point is that we're just at the beginning.
So it definitely requires more research. But really and truly, it's not for, I don't think it's for us as a researcher to say what we think this is. It really is about how is the individual interpreting it. And if you're interpreting that you're only being emotionally abused or you're only being physically abused, you know, it will then influence how you then behave.
Good. More questions? Yes, please, sir. You had your hand up, yes.
Oh, the subscripts. Again, just with ANCOVA, that was with the Bonferroni post-hoc analyses, and it's just showing you that the means that share the same subscripts were not significantly different from one another.
This one?
Yeah. So again, what I was pointing out to you all is really, and what was fascinating to me while I was doing this is that and I really did expect maybe the emotional victimization group would look more like the no victimization group, but that's not the case, especially when you looked at condom use and when you looked at family support and when you looked at depressive symptomatology. Now, researchers have shown that, you know, those who report higher levels of depressive symptomatology, it may impact, the emotional abuse may impact that more because you're directly feeding into those negative cognitions. So again, what it's basically saying is that if I'm emotionally victimized versus physically victimized, I may be more likely to be depressed with that emotional victimization, which may be common sense, and that's why I love public health. It's so interdisciplinary because this is where those with a psychology background come in and say, well, how do we treat these individuals? Mm-hmm. Maybe cognitive behavioral therapy? So.
Any more questions?
Can we get copies of the presentation?
To the panel?
Okay.
Well, the question I have for Dr. Wingold has to do with the two presentations you gave. I thought the video part was really fascinating. And I was wondering, is there any future plans for the diffusion of these as a possible intervention?
I'm so glad you asked the question. There are future plans, and actually, if you're interested in the video intervention called Sahara, you can actually obtain that by emailing me.
Oh,
and
cool.
That venue can be purchased.
Oh, we'll get one from me.
Yeah.
Yes, another question from the audience.
HIV risk and prevention strategies. One place to look might be to familiar with the microeconomics piece in terms of giving the small loans to women and stuff to help them with businesses and all those kinds of things. So, but in terms of the study, there's a link between that and HIV AIDS, I'll do research. Thank you.
Any other question? Once again, a round of applause for our panel. Thank you so very much. And we appreciate you guys for coming. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I mean, you know, because when you want to do stuff like this, it's like, okay, how is this going to work out? And when you had to be loading stuff, I was like, oh, heaven help me. Exactly.
Well, because in the past, every single time I've had to moderate, I've always had that experience. And this is the first time the panel actually, you know, you guys were right on top of me. I mean, I was really impressed. You guys were right on top of me. God bless you. Because every single time that I have to moderate, we end up starting late because there's a change. But then, people don't have time to ask questions. I mean, we try to do it. We have 10 minutes to go on time. I mean, this is something that I never did. So thank you for setting the pace. Because you set the pace. And so I did it. As a mother.
No, I speak very quickly, so I'm like, come on,
yeah, but you were. God bless you.
That's all I gotta say. Thank you very much. Yeah.